Are you ready to step up your game in life? Then you're in the right place. This Kick-Ass Strong podcast is for you. I am your host, Marvi Cheddar Grossman. More than a decade ago, I began a journey that changed my life in such a powerful way that it became evident that I needed to pass that information and wisdom on to others. As a result, a ripple effect would be created in families, work environments, communities around the world. Hey everyone, thank you for stopping by to listen to today's podcast. And thank you all for following Kick-Ass Strong. Today we are talking about something that is very personal and very applicable to everyone. I wish you were here with me at this sanctuary, sitting in one of the colorful chairs, surrounded by my singing bowls, with a glass of orange water, and my pup Ruby laying at our feet. Because today we are going to talk about boundaries. And let me be clear from the outset, this is not about pushing people away or leaving anyone behind. This is about communicating appropriate boundaries so that we can support those around us without losing ourselves in the process. Boundaries should serve the highest good. Boundaries help us say what needs to be said, do what needs to be done, and establish what is and is not acceptable. This won't be the easiest lesson to apply to your life, but it will likely be one of the most valuable steps you take toward emotional and mental health and better relationships. Boundaries are a natural law. Boundaries have been around since the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve were specifically told not to eat from the fruit of the tree of life. There are boundaries separating countries, states, counties, and neighbors, and there are personal boundaries at work and at home. Today, one of the most serious problems facing individuals is the confusion about boundaries. Many people who struggle with their lack of boundaries raise questions like, can I still set boundaries and be a loving person? What if someone is offended by my boundaries? Why do I feel guilty or afraid when considering setting boundaries? Aren't I selfish if I set boundaries? I know someone who has boundaries and they come off like a jerk. Do I have to be like that? For many individuals, the desire to be liked, loved, to please, to serve, becomes all-consuming, always putting others first, even to the point of losing themselves in the process. Let's take the day in the life of a woman named Gabby. Maybe some of you will be able to identify with her. Gabby is the executive director of a large non-for-profit. She and her husband were married in their late 30s. Gabby has no close family in the area. Her husband, Will, has a doting, widowed mother. They have two children, Skye, who is 10, a smart, rather introverted girl, and Troy, a strong-willed boy. Gabby and Will have been married for 12 years, The alarm rings at 6:15 and Gabby longs to hit the snooze button. She is not looking forward to the day. Troy's teacher called yesterday and requested a school conference. This is the second one this year. Troy has discipline issues, according to the teacher. And before Sky leaves for school today, Gabby has to finish a dance costume for her. Gabby should have finished it last night, but Will's mom showed up unannounced at dinner time. She does this often, complaining she is so lonely and no one ever visits her. And of course, she doesn't want to intrude, but it just does get so lonely in that big house. So of course, Will asks her to stay for dinner and the evening. After dinner, Will excuses himself to the TV, and it is up to Gabby to entertain her. There goes the costume. Gabby must also pack two lunches, take the kids to the bus, and she must be ready to carpool. Will is on his own. Miraculously, the costume is finished, lunches are packed, and everyone is out the door. Gabby is only late to work by 10 minutes. Unfortunately, this is becoming a regular thing. 11:30 rolls around, and Gabby is so looking forward to lunch on the bench outside to sort her thoughts out before the teacher conference. But an interruption by a coworker changes that plan. Gina is known to come to Gabby for the littlest things. Everything is a crisis. The sad thing is, when Gabby needs a friend, Gina isn't there. In fact, Gina changes the subject and finds the quickest exit. There goes lunch. The afternoon is uneventful, and 4:45 finds Gabby wrapping up the day until another executive strolls into her office with a large document. "Gabby, you have got to help me. I have this presentation tomorrow at 9 a.m., and I really need you to look it over and fill in any blanks." Gabby sighs. She gave him all the material for that presentation 2 weeks ago. "Sure," she says. "When do you want to have it back?" "Can you email it to me tonight before 9? That would be great. I always know I can count on you." Gabby smiles. In her mind, she thinks, "I know I need to be thankful I have this job and that people can count on me." Gabby makes it to the teacher conference with a minute to spare. Mrs. Johnson gives Gabby a chance to catch her breath and begins with, "Gabby, thank you for coming. I know you have a busy schedule. I am really glad to see that you see Troy as a priority." "Of course," Gabby replies. She is waiting for the axe to fall. "Just get to the point. I have a problem child, don't I? What's new? I have a problem life to go with it," she thinks to herself. Mrs. Johnson can sense that Gabby is already defensive, so she eases into the situation. "Gabby, Troy is having discipline issues. When there is something he's interested in, he can be focused and he gets along well with the other students. But he does not respond well to limits. He gets up from his desk and pesters other kids. When I try to correct him, he gets enraged and obstinate. Maybe he has a attention deficit problem," questions Gabby. Mrs. Johnson shakes her head. "When he is interested in the subject, Troy stays on task very well." I'm not a therapist, but he is just not responding to rules and limits. Are you saying this is stemming from the home, Gabby sighed. Again, I'm not a therapist, but I am wondering how things are at home. And with that, Gabby breaks into tears, feeling overwhelmed with everything and everyone. At dinner that evening, it takes Gabby yelling at the top of her lungs 3 times to get everyone to the table. She hates to scream, but nothing else seems to work. The kids and Will come shuffling into the table whenever they want. Will has his phone with him, never looking up to talk to her or the kids. Gabby tries to engage the kids with talk about school, but that goes nowhere. And after a while, she gives up. They eat in silence. Soon, Will retreats to a chair in the living room to watch a game, and the kids retreat to their rooms. Gabby is left with cleaning up the dishes and the kitchen. The phone rings. It is a woman from the church Gabby attends. There's a woman's conference this weekend. Gabby has been so excited about attending, getting away, clearing her head, some time alone, praying, just her and God. Change of plans. Someone who is in charge of the group activities has suddenly taken ill. Would Gabby please fill in? Of course, Gabby says. This is an opportunity to serve others, being called to give of oneself. What a privilege. It's now 9:30. Dinner has been cleaned up, dishes washed and put away. Even a load of clothes has been thrown into the washer. The presentation that was dropped in her lap before she left for work has been emailed off, and Gabby is exhausted. She looks at Will in his chair and thinks how their relationship has shifted over the years. Maybe it was the stress of the job or the kids. Whatever it was, Gabby never imagined she would ever hear the angry, cutting words from the lips of the man she married. Nothing she ever did anymore seemed to be enough. Realizing that Will was a controlling person, Gabby blamed herself. I'm the reason he gets so critical and frustrated. I'm the basket case. So, Gabby creates peacemaking maneuvers. First, when Gabby sees that Will is going to get angry about something, like her being late or maybe disagreeing with him, she simply becomes quiet and agreeable. If that doesn't work, Gabby holds her tongue, maybe even pretending to agree with Will at times, even apologizing for her wrongdoing. And finally, the icing on the cake, doing special things for Will, making his special meals, buying him special treats. Anything to try and maintain the peace. But the peace doesn't last. Why does Gabby, or why does anyone, have difficulty establishing boundaries? It could be upbringing. Many individuals are brought up with an understanding that assertiveness, which is a key skill for setting healthy boundaries, is not acceptable. Many are taught that it is an honor to serve above all else, and many just plain don't like confrontation. When we are not used to setting boundaries with certain people or in specific situations, we might feel guilty, anxious, or even ashamed at first. that's okay, and honestly, to be expected. Try leaning into those feelings and accepting them just as they are. Try practicing ways of saying no that are respectful yet strong. For example, I'm not comfortable with this, or I would rather not, or this doesn't work for me, or I don't want to do that. For those of you with children, understand that if you think you are doing your children any favors by not role modeling boundaries or establishing boundaries for them, you are not. Children are great observers. If you let people walk all over you, take advantage of your kindness, your children will do the same. They will carry over that lack of respect to their school, their friends, and later in life. I remember growing up when parents of one of my friends invited us over for dinner one evening. We were about 8 years old. The boy we were visiting was not getting his way and proceeded to throw a knockdown temper tantrum on the floor. I was horrified, never having seen anything like this before. The parents literally picked him up, put him in his room, where he proceeded to scream and kick the door. The father apologized, saying he would like to discipline the child, but the mother would not hear of it. Of course not. The mother was in the room with the child trying to console him. Needless to say, my parents excused themselves, saying they thought there might be a better time to visit. Throughout the years, the boy who screamed and kicked the door grew up to be a young man that struggled to find his place in the world. He knew no boundaries. There are many types of boundaries, some you might not even be aware of. You just know you are uncomfortable. There are physical boundaries, when someone invades your personal space. When my sons were growing up, unfortunately, we were not affectionate people. I say unfortunately because I believe hugs are great. But the family I had married into were not affectionate people, so that just did not happen. Fast forward 30-some years, I divorced, remarried, and my husband and his family are huggers. For the first time, we have a Christmas with both sides of the family together. My sons and my husband's sons meet for the first time. Everyone hits it off great. It's time to leave, and what happens? My husband's son gives my son a big old bear hug. It was a Kodak moment. My son had never had a hug like that before in his entire life. He just stood there. There was a slight uneasy laugh and a slight hug back. But now my kids are used to the hugs as grown men and the I love yous, and it's a way of life. There are emotional boundaries as well. Violations of these boundaries include name-calling, insults, insinuating someone is worthless, stupid, or difficult. Bullying falls in this category. Many people that are victims of abuse say that emotional abuse is as bad as the physical abuse because these scars never heal. There are spiritual boundaries, time boundaries, material boundaries, and yes, there are sexual boundaries that can be violated physically or emotionally. So how do you set boundaries? First of all, you establish clear consequences. When you set clear boundaries, you set clear consequences should they be violated, and make sure they are realistic. For example, if you're going to start smoking pot, I'm going home. Stay consistent. If you set boundaries and then relinquish them now and then, people will cross them whenever they like, knowing that you're not going to enforce them. This applies to the boundaries you set with your family, your friends, and your colleagues. Maintain your stand during the pushback, because believe me, you will have pushback. You will find people who refuse to respect your boundaries. Don't give up. Stand your ground to maintain your boundaries. Why? Because you're worth it. Calmly remind them of your boundaries and state you won't change your mind. For example, I know you're upset. I still need you to respect my boundaries. I won't meet with you if you don't respect our time agreement. Be firm. Setting boundaries with those closest to you can be tough. Some may feel deeply hurt. Don't slip up because of the guilt trip they are going to attempt to lay on you. Stay patient with yourself and with others. There are going to be blunders. You might forget about the boundary, or you might slip up if someone triggers you and you lose your calm. Don't beat yourself up about that, and don't give up on the boundary either. Be kind to yourself about your slip-ups, and be kind to those who continue to push the boundaries. They have the best intentions, at least most of them do. Change is hard. New rules are hard. Healthy relationships require healthy boundaries for both parties. A healthy relationship requires the space to be yourself and to maintain your personal integrity. This isn't being selfish. This is taking responsibility for yourself. By setting boundaries, you are telling others how you want and expect it to be treated. In other words, you are setting your limits about who can come into your space and what you expect of others once they are there. Develop a healthy respect for yourself. All of your experiences, including the mistakes you have made, help to shape your character and who you are. No one besides you, no matter how persuasive they may be, can define you or try to control you. When you respect yourself, all of who you are, you should expect that others will treat you with that same respect. Our boundaries help us live in tune with our desires, our needs, and our feelings. We can say no to the things we don't want to do, and yes to the things we want to do. With boundaries, we become less concerned about how we are viewed and more satisfied with the perceptions we have of ourselves. So this is a lot of information to digest about boundaries. Knowing and doing are two totally different paths. The doing is the hard stuff. I still struggle with boundaries sometimes. But on those days, I give myself some grace, and I know I deserve more. I know I can do better. If you are struggling with boundaries, maybe you don't know where to start. Maybe you can't find the words. Maybe you doubt your worth. No, you don't have to tackle this alone. Take it one step at a time and reach out. Thank you for listening today. I hope you were blessed. And if you are good with boundaries, but maybe you know someone who struggles with these, please share, because as we all know, sharing is caring. And for now, go out there and have a kick-ass day. Thank you for stopping by today. If you have any questions, any comments, or would like more information as to how to work with me, please check out the links below. And remember to follow me on Facebook and Instagram. Above all, have a kick-ass day.